Let's get to know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Ruben Ronde and welcome to a new State of Trance podcast with not one but two guests this week. They're looking at the camera already like, hey, why is he looking that way? Artente Divini and Davey SP, welcome.
Thank you.
Should I say ADAD?
No, let's call it Divas. Let's call it Divas.
Yeah. Divas or Divos?
Divas.
Divas, yeah.
Okay, so we kind of did a little spoil already with a track title and things like that.
Yeah.
All right, the thing that I always start with, and I'll start with you this time, Art. What sparked your interest in dance music? Like, how did you get in touch with dance music?
Well, basically, I came from the top sport back in the days, mm-hmm. 20 years ago, and I got a lot of adrenaline.
You were doing biking, like?
Yeah, mountain biking, yeah. Downhilling, so you got a lot of adrenaline. And yeah, it stopped. And a friend of mine, he was a DJ in the place where I'd be born, Doetinchem, and he was just DJing. He said, well, let's bring it on. So he had two turntables. I still remember the sound labs.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the belt rise.
That one. And I start mixing and I feel, yeah, it's very comfortable. And then we end up very quickly, I think within a month, in a club.
No way.
Yeah. So every Friday evening in Doetinchem, of all places, in a small club, we played every Friday and then it started.
Were you already infected by dance music before you started DJing while you were bicycling still?
Yeah. One of my trainings at... So two trainings a week was 6 or 7 hours. So I wear that time a Walkman.
A Walkman, yeah.
A Walkman.
Or a Discman, don't shake too
mini
much.
Mini disc. Yeah, and I was listening to house music back in the days, the 90s, you know, what is it? Too Limited, for example. Mm-hmm. And
like the Eurodance era.
Eurodance. And that's what I'm listening, just get into mood. And that's how it started for me, the dance music. Yeah, and then I got challenged by... somebody, if you want to play in big clubs, you need to make tracks. Yeah. And then I hooked up with Melvin Warning, as Divini and Warning, and we sit down in the studio, and that was 4LB. And then it started.
That was the first release that you had?
Yeah, actually made in 8 hours. 8 hours, just for fun. We didn't know anything about Cubase.
No.
Just doing this. Of course, our teacher Randy Katana told us a bit.
Yeah.
But we did something. And it still stands for 4LB, for Lorette and Babette.
Yeah.
Lorette is my girlfriend. And Babette was that time his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then it started. And then we got Extra Large, and we got this, and we got that, we got Sheep, Ultra Banda, and it goes off. And I got infected by producing music.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. Besides DJing, I really love to produce music, especially beats.
That's the most fast-paced DJ career I've ever heard in my life, I think. Okay, I started DJing 2 weeks later. I was in a club.
Yeah,
I had a residency. I was playing the whole night. I go into the studio and make a big hit straight away.
Yeah, yeah. NATO's.
Yeah, it was just a dream.
In 8 hours. I think that's interesting that you say that. In eight hours, because I had, for example... well, guys like Martin Jung, for example, here in the studio as well, and he was working also in the Dance Villa studios back then. And for him, he said it was very common that you would create something within 4 hours and it was done.
Yeah.
Because you had to dedicate the sound straight away. You had to print everything. There was no coming back, no saving projects and opening your with your presets. You did it once and that was it.
Yeah. But Martin Jung is very talented.
Oh, he's insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Martin?
Martin, I know that he listens to this podcast. So
I know,
Martin,
I know.
We love you, man. All right, let's move on to Davey. Let's dive into that. He takes a little zip of water because this is going to be a story.
Yeah. it started with me in the late 80s when my mom used to listen to just the radio and mm-hmm. dance music, and New Wave was quite popular in the UK. And I didn't even know it was dance music until the late 1990s when you had the Ibiza CDs, Kiss CDs, and... I'd always been in love with the music as well as heavy metal and rock. I started my DJ career DJing in a rock club when I was 15 years old, illegally. Yeah, getting paid
as
five.
As a rock DJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paid £5 a night, which was just enough to get my taxi fare back home from
Not anymore back then, yes.
Yeah, and went to my first club, which was God's Kitchen. I can't even remember who was on the lineup, but one of my friends was like, we've got to go, after watching Kevin and Perry, as probably most people in the UK did. And yeah, I just got absolutely lost in the music. And then to kickstart the DJ career was in Ibiza, watching Tiesto play at Amnesia, which blew my mind. It was amazing. But then Eddie Halliwell came on afterwards, and I'd never seen a DJ or heard a DJ play like he had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a lightning bolt. Right, this is what I'm going to do. So I spent the last of my euros on a vinyl record bag. Then I went shopping around San Antonio for vinyl records without any decks.
Yeah.
Still got home, purchased a pair of Newmark Battle Pack, mm-hmm. the Newmark Battle Pack Mark II, and yeah, just locked myself away and started learning how to mix.
So you went as a rock head into a club in Amnesia in Ibiza with some friends, and you saw Eddie Halliwell. He took off his shoes.
Yeah,
I know that he's still. I think he still does that.
Yeah.
Was it still in the era that the DJ booth was upstairs?
It was, yeah. It
with
was
the with the light guy with the long hair. He's always standing next to the DJ. Anyways,
yeah.
Too much details, probably. He doesn't remember anymore. No. It's fine. And then you started DJing. What did you do with your rock career? Like the DJ rock? Did you continue doing that to pay for vinyls?
No, no. I went to college, then on to university, and my university career suffered because I was dedicating all the time to mixing and then playing in clubs. And,
I recognize that one.
Yeah, and so I went to university, didn't amount to anything, but I'm quite fortunate that the DJ career sort of has ridden out and sort of cancelled that student debt out.
So you started DJing, and then the next step was, like Art said, you started making music as well?
2007, 2008, I think I had, it feels like a long, long time ago now when it really wasn't.
It really is, to be honest.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Are we getting that old?
Sorry, man. Don't mean to burst your bubble there, but it is a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, started releasing with Steve Allen, who was a good friend of mine, releasing on his label. We did Jilty Perspective as a collab, and then just sort of took off from there, really.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. And you were also listening in the meantime, listening to Art's music as well.
Oh yeah. Massive, massive fan of 4LB.
Yeah, because that is a question that we got in a lot. First of all, Federico 2LC wants to know, how long have you guys known each other for?
Well, I've known of Artento for many, many years.
But that you met each other was the first time?
It was ASOT, wasn't it? 2018.
ASOT straight away.
Yeah, ADA.
And then that's another question straight away. Tone Ross, as a duo from the UK. Oh, no, that's the next question from me. Yes, too, actually. How did you guys get together? Well, go ahead. The floor is yours.
It's up to you, man.
Yeah, well, I'd probably been messaging far too much as an unknown DJ, unknown producer to his page. No, and then I can't really remember.
Artists like block.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, we agreed to meet at Backstage ASOT 850, I'd just played, and we just got talking from there, and the ideas started forming, and ADDA was born and released in 2019, I think it was, and the crowd reaction and Armin doing all the sit downs, we were sort of like, well, okay, this has got some potential and some momentum. Let's see where this goes, and mm-hmm. let's do another one, and
so it started out as a one-off, basically, just because you guys clicked and then let's see what happens.
Well, for me, it was, we need to have a second one, a follow-up. If the first one is going to be big, then people expect a follow-up.
Yeah.
So ADDA was Artento di Vini, Dave Yesprey.
Yeah.
So let's do DAAD. And then we get Dave Yesprey, Artento di Vini.
And that's how the naming convention got started, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name, ADDA?
I think we were just struggling to find a track name that was sort of fitting.
What was
the
worst name that you came up with?
It's Too Blue to Air.
Too Blue to Air?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's terrible. That is terrible. Okay.
Put the fader down.
Yeah. Okay. This was the podcast. Thanks so much. No, but seriously, how did you... and when did you find out that this was the perfect name for that?
Well, you came up with it. We had something, and I still remember that he was pushing me to 4LB, and he told me how much he was loved that track.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, why you don't do this anymore?" I said, "Well, I have done this a lot, you know." "Yeah, come on, let's do one." I said, "Well, fire over melody." Then he will fire over that ADDA melody. Is okay. Holy moly! Let's grab my backup hard drive, all the old stuff into my computer again. It's okay. Then I started to create a kick, and the kick was a good. We have tested it a few times, but it was not there. Then I woke up on Saturday morning, I watched to my girl, and said, "I now know it." go back in the studio, created that kick, and then it goes off. So it basically, he was pushing me to the old sound. And yeah, to be honest, I was quite happy with it. It feels comfortable, like just like you turn on a jacket, you know, and it was, well, is it good English? I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
and that was, it was very good. It was very nice.
Do you think that sparked a little bit of juicing yourself as well for your solo project, that you got a kick into going into older sounds again?
I think so.
So Davey Asprey just pushing people.
Maybe.
Positive pressure.
Mental coach. No, I know that Davey knows what to say, I guess.
Yeah, but sometimes it happens. He pushed the right button and okay, let's do it, you know? And then it end up that Armin is sit down with on Tomorrowland, I guess, on the first time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you start producing a track, I think you know that. You have doubts. Is it the drop, you know?
Yeah, then is it good enough?
Is it good enough? Is it not too old? Okay. Well, fire it over. Bam. And Armin fell in love. I said, okay, it's good. And then I wake up with Omo, Texas. Have you seen Tomorrowland? He did a sit down with an... First, I thought we made a new Divinian warning track.
Yeah.
It was going around on the internet. So no. And then I was sitting down and I still remember that one with my girlfriend. And I was... Got little tears, so okay, goosebumps. It's okay, this is gonna work. And then you get to sit down and say, oh, definitely, Davey pushed the right button.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's not something that you expect, I guess, when you send over a melody to him and you were like, okay, I'm not sure if this is gonna work because it sounds, well, I guess it's very much inspired, of course, by the early days that you said in studio with Randy Katana, of course.
Yeah.
Like the tribal, the dance floor, the long extended build-ups.
Yeah.
Like you're almost watching at your clock. Yeah. Like how long does it take?
Well, I can grab a beer and can go to the toilet and then the drop will come.
No, but it's such a tension builder. It's always like, oh, and then the drops hits off. And
Randy Katana was mastering that in those builds. Oh, it always grabs you. It grabs you and you want to, and then you give it. Bam, yeah. There it is.
Did you expect the tune to be such a success that you just... So when you send over the melody to him, like, hey.
He sent me across, say, a demo of The Drop. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it, I was I think there's definitely some potential in this. And it was, when the sit-down video came out and it was just like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it blew me away.
It's funny to me that someone like yourself, you've seen everything, you've played such big shows, like you've been in the scene for 15 years, and that you see a video like that and it's still... It stirs emotions for you. Like it inspires you to, you watch a video of Armin playing a tune of yourself and you're like, hey.
What is this? Well, especially, Armin's plays all over the world, but the crowd reaction, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
For me, I did it so many times over and over and over and over again. For me, it was a bit, I don't want to say done, but.
Yeah.
And then he said, let's go for it. Okay. You know? Okay. And then we did it and it happened in this. And so, okay. Wow.
Now the question is, Davey, which button did you push that you get the result?
That's a good question.
So we can write a book about it.
Yeah. I've always been a massive fan of that sound. In the Randy Katana era of that sort of style, the tribal was just something that's, whenever I used to play sets in the UK, I'd always put a couple of the tracks in, as you mentioned, just to build suspense and what have you. And I wanted to do a track like that for myself. And the best person in my mind to collaborate with who had that sound, that knew how to put it all together and put it together well, was Artento.
Was that a thought that you had already before meeting him, or did you go to Seda Trends and you saw Artento, you're like, hey, wait a minute?
No, as I mentioned, I wanted to collab for many, many years, and it was just coming up with the right sort of theme, the right sort of idea.
Yeah.
And it just sort of all fell into place at the right place, right time.
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah.
And now the curiosity is for me is like working as a duo. Like, what is the dynamics between you guys? Like, who does what, and how do you communicate with each other? And how do you etc.
Well, Davey is brilliant in his melodies,
mm-hmm.
and I'm honest and I'm telling everybody, melodies is not my strongest point in productions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more a beat guy.
Yeah,
beat kicks, low frequencies, tribals, groovy stuff. That's what I like. Creating builds, like get your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he sent, I really love that Fallout track, so holy moly. And then he sent a couple of melodies. And to be honest, I hear a lot of melodies that or too cheesy, or, you know, it's not that. But for him, what he is creating, it's not cheesy, it's catchy, you know, it's there. And then he dropped me also the sounds. Mm. As okay, okay, really fun. And then I got inspired. And the thing is, it makes myself very comfortable in the studio, because the part of the break is, for me, I don't want to say a headache, but a lot of, not frustration, but a lot of work. Is this good enough? Is this good enough? Yeah. Because I get very bored if I play in team. So, you know? If I don't have that stress anymore, do what you're doing.
You have freedom to create whatever. Yeah.
That's it. And build some beats, a lot of stuff, a lot of fun with myself. I'm dancing in the studio. So, okay, it's good danceable, shuffling, you know? And okay, it's good, good. And then I will send it over. And he said, yep, that's good. Okay. I'll fire it up to Armada. Okay, thank you.
Signed off. Did you spend some time in the studio actually together as well? Or was it always remote?
It's been remote so far.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Obviously the times that we...
I've still got a 9-to-5 job and a young family, and the same with Ard. And it's finding the, you know, having... I've got to submit to my boss, you know, can I have X amount of time off to go to Amsterdam to do XYZ? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what are you doing over there? Oh, it's for my side music career. Oh, okay, let me investigate into that and... Yeah, could potentially open up.
You spent some men points.
Yeah, but it would be great. We are talking about coming over towards the end of the year for a week with the family, so it'd be good.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down for the first time.
But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be different, of course. Yeah.
It's going to be very different, but I think it's also really nice if I can do. He's good in his thing, you know, the melody.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm good in beats. So
yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ruben.
I mean, Tomorrowland showed it, you know?
And I think for Davies as well, if something already done for 70-80% in a studio, it's good. I know a lot of duo producers, well, not a lot, but I know a few of them. They're sitting down, okay, where are we going to start? The kick? Yes, we're Sonic. But everything is there already. So he get into the studio, and 70% of the track is done. I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to do tick, 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 tick. And then it goes off.
Yeah.
Because I can do my own stuff just in myself, because I'm pretty weird in producing music, because I'm walking around, down, dancing around, go upstairs, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a bit active. And I can imagine that people cannot handle it. And yeah, this is, I think, a perfect way to do it.
Awesome. Well, like I said, you have 4 tunes, 5 tunes done already just by each other. And that means that... promoters also come in like, hey, we want to book ADDA, like ourselves, 2nd of July, of course, Dockyards in London. We're going to have you guys.
Yep.
Amazing.
Thank you.
But you already did some shows together as well.
Yeah.
Transformations Poland Grotesque was your first time, I think.
It was the first time.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like to play as a back-to-back duo for the first time?
Exciting. It's always good to, for me personally, to see how other people work and, you know, do our styles mix and sort of every set that we've played together so far, I'm always taking things away and improving my own mixing. Like Ard likes to use a lot of loops, which is something I'd never really thought of doing before, but just thinking, you know, to save yourself if you do have a clunky mix or what have you, or you miss the cue point. So they, you know, there's takeaways from all of that, which is that's going into my own solo sets that are making them a bit more spontaneous, I suppose, as well.
Yeah. So you go into the booth and have more fun rather than to focus on everything beforehand and just play whatever you had in mind.
Oh, and you get a little break as well to have a dance while he's mixing.
Or a drink or go to the toilet or something.
Well, I've seen Artento play millions of times, so I know he's very active. Do you get along with that enthusiasm as well?
Yeah, I try my best. I try my best.
He's doing sometimes a lot of cardio right now.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of cardio. Yeah, the lockdown hadn't been kind to me, should we say. I went from, 12 stone to 14. I'm still trying to...
We use a metric system here, so I have no idea what you just said. But
from heavy to heavier. Okay. But I don't know whether many people knew, but in 2021, I broke my leg quite badly in 3 places, dislocated my ankle. So that took a lot of shows out the picture and a lot of downtime. And my fitness levels have dipped considerably. So trying to keep up with Ard. Good cardio workout.
But when I see your socials now, right now, you do some pretty decent workout as well right now.
Yeah, so. I'm trying to get the confidence back in going as hard as I did before I broke my leg. And I've got a personal trainer that's helping me do that, because I think a lot of it is mental. There's a mental block of, okay, if I push this too hard, will my foot fall off sort of thing. But yeah, it's going well. We've set goals for certain festivals throughout the year to have a hopefully a certain physique by then. If not, I'll just wear muscle fit t-shirts and only get shots from the chest up.
You shouldn't be too bothered about that, to be honest. You're doing great, man. And I think that's something just in your head as well. But yeah. I guess, but it's also on the other side, it's good to set goals for yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, why not? So what's the goals for ADDA? Little segue there.
I think the first goal would be a new track for ASOT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
July 2nd in Dockyard. Because I've got a lot of things in my head already.
I think Art would rather be in the studio right now than standing there.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I'd love the when Armin mentioned about doing an album. Remember that in ADE?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be, I suppose, a goal for maybe a couple of years in the future. I think that'd be quite cool.
Yeah.
Is that going to be one of those things when you get back later this year? Have your kids back together also?
And just set out a plan. Yeah, where do we want to go? Because we've both got our own individual careers as well.
Yeah.
And it's dedicating the appropriate amount of time to the project because we both want it to do as well as possible.
Yeah.
And it's just finding the time to get together, get the plan, execute the plan, and hopefully deliver on the results.
But how are you, like, I'm very curious always about the workflow of people when they're here in the studio, and also time managing, because you guys are both fathers. And husbands or boyfriends, and you know you need your men points. I know you love the game as well. Sometimes some bits and pieces. You have your solo careers. How do you juggle everything together? Like if you add another, because this is successful, the ADDA project is successful. So you want to pursue that as well, I guess. So how are you going to make sure that you still have time for your daughter or for your son?
For me, I regiment my day quite rigorously, shall we say. I still work a high-pressure sales job. And with that job, doing it for so many years, it's taught me to literally structure your day in hour increments. And that's how it might sound boring to some, but that's how I sort of regiment my life to make sure I'm allocating the right amount of time to do studio work, do social media work, do this. And, the whole pandemic, being shut down and being at home every weekend with the kids really open my eyes to just how much I was missing out on by being away all the time. And, I'm very content in where my career is at the moment. Doing, a dozen or so gigs a year works absolutely fine for me. I don't think I could really be doing the 150 shows a year and then still keeping the family happy. I don't think that's where I want to be personally. I never thought I'd get as far as I have.
Yeah.
2016, I've been in the game nearly 16 years, and I was ready to just hang out.
2017, some of the fallout was there.
Yeah, and then I had a young daughter at the time, and everything just sort of changed overnight, and I had to adapt massively with a day job, with having the pressures of a young family, and it's sort of, I'm still trying to find my feet really, and how to manage it all.
Yeah.
But we'll see, things are good.
Well, I think it's very interesting that you say that, because Adam Ellis was in the studio here last week and he said the exact same thing. He was like, I'm very content where I am right now. I don't need to do 150 shows a year. I just cherry pick some bits and pieces there. And in the meantime, I just enjoy my time with my family, with my friends, not being locked away in a hotel room every weekend. It's interesting. I think, do you think that's something that more artists are adapting right now after the whole lockdown, of course?
The world changed overnight. And for many people, many of my friends that were playing 2-3 shows a week and then just being back at home, locked away, they've either retrained and done XYZ, or some of their careers just haven't recovered. And this is their sole source of, income, really. And I'm quite fortunate that I've always worked a 9-to-5. I've always had a decent sales job. And I think it's allowed a lot of people to just sit back, recalibrate, either recharge and attack, with more ferocity. And you see some of the DJs now that have broken through that were maybe sort of just bubbling away, trying to break through before the pandemic. And the pandemic for some people has been, a great success for their careers with streaming on Twitch. You see a lot of Twitch streamers now have got, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 followers and I'm struggling with 500.
That's a grind. That's a whole different story. We'll get back to that in just a little bit because I want to jump to art as well. How do you deal with time pressure? Because you're also trying to raise awareness for your daughter. She has the KDVS.
They call it the Vries syndrome.
Yeah. So could you, if you want to elaborate a little bit? Because I know that you're creating awareness for that. Your shows, yes. You're wearing t-shirts and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Just like this.
Yeah, so I want to give you the platform as well just to tell a little bit about that as well.
Well, honestly, I really don't know how to can manage. I think my girl, Laurette, is very, very strong in this situation. Yeah. Because, I'm jumping everywhere.
Yeah.
Also in-house, you know. I want in studio. My mind is constantly going on. And I make a very nice appointment with her. When my daughter is going to bed, and that is around 6:30, 7, my girlfriend will sit there. And then the night is for us. We try to sit down watching some televisions of just chatting.
Just together,
yeah. I think that is really a gift for me now to get everything done. And yeah, besides, if you got a special needed kid, there are so many things going on.
Yeah.
If you raise up a normal kid, we do like this, it's hard. But for us, everything is 3 times, 4 times longer. If you have that baby face, you know, the face that they're going to be they are helpless, you know. Yeah. It's going to be 8 months, 9 months, I don't know. But for us, is it 1.5 years, 2 years? So I'm still carrying her. I'm still feeding her. She doesn't talk. She doesn't walk. But she's almost 4 years old. And what I always said, it's very hard to accept. Last year, I just released 2 tracks.
Yeah.
Just the remix and Divos. I didn't have the time in the studio. I was just only fucking crying.
I was
just crying. And I have good connection with Daley Young. He got also a son with Angelman syndrome. And we hooked up and we are just talking about, and he said, man, you go to a black hole or you go very deep. And I think I've been there and I just called, man, I've been there, I guess. Now the way is getting up. And slowly I get myself back into the studio. Lucky me, because somebody asked me about some mastering stuff. Maybe we're going to talk about that a bit later. And that's forced me to get into the studio because it's also a part of my income. And now,
so you were forced into, because you got an assignment, not for yourself, but you had to do it for someone.
I have to do it for someone. And that forced me into the studio. And then I start, maybe I have to do something again. And then a guy popped up, hit bass, let's do a collab. So, okay, you know, maybe it's just the way to do it. And then it starts again to produce. And I've got many conversations with Daley and with my girl. And the way that I accepted that my daughter is different than a normal child.
Yeah.
It takes a long process. And finally, I have accepted and lucky us that we are in our own bubble.
Yeah.
Because my sister has a very smart little girl, about 5 years old. And sometimes I get, comfort. I see the difference, really the difference. And now it starts, you see it as well. The mimic, things are different. And last week I was in to an indoor playground for little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little kid, he came over and he said, you are stupid. I said, okay. I told, so no, he was probably 5 years old. I said, no, she's special.
Yeah.
And then his face turned out, oh, mama, that's
special.
Really special.
Yeah.
So, okay, this is how I have to handle it, you know? Yeah. And yeah, it's lots, I don't know, it's, you will grow in the whole situations. And right now I tell people, I have a complete different view on the world.
Yeah.
Complete different. If I raise up a normal child, probably you need to go to the university, you need this, you need that. For us, everything is completely changed. We had plans to move to Portugal, to live there. Everything is changed.
Everything is different right now. Yeah.
Everything is different. And now we are happy. Well, you have seen her tomorrow. She wakes up, she's every time she is happy. She is singing, da, 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 da.
Da, da. There you go. Da, 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 da.
Da, 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 da. And she is singing on her way. And she's always smiling. And that is, I think, maybe it sounds a bit weird, but if I can choose between syndromes, I'm maybe pretty happy that I've got that syndrome that's called colon defreeze, because they're most of the time happy. They're very easygoing. They are really relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is that brought me something that I said, maybe I have to slow down. I'm happy with my life right now, with my girl. I'm very happy. I'm engaged with her right now. And yeah, this is it. This is good to be at home. Like you said, if you want
being content with what you have,
yeah,
what you are.
That's, yeah. I can go in the
and
studio.
Then appreciate what you have.
Yeah. That's the thing. And I'm happy with what I have. Yeah. I got time, 2.5 days, time a week to sit down in the studio.
Yeah.
That's not that much. I see people 40 hours working in the studio. And before, I want that too.
Yeah.
I want to work in a studio. I got to be stressed. I was not that nice guy sometimes at home, I'll be honest. But right now, everything is going to be relaxed and I can probably do more management. So, okay, on Wednesday, I can sit down in the studio. On Thursday, I'm on the road. I do my telephone calls. And on Friday, I do the mastering stuff. So I can handle the things right now.
So there you have it again, the planning.
The planning,
planning,
yeah,
is very important.
Very important, yeah.
So if you're a young and inspiring producer and you listen to his podcast, I do the same. I have a schedule at home. I write down everything, what I need to do. And I think that's the best thing to do and dedicate time. And even if you sit down sometimes and it doesn't work, the flow doesn't come, you can still do studio work.
Yeah, sure.
You don't have to create a track. You can sort your samples. You can find some vocalists or whatever. That's also studio work.
That's true, yeah. That's
so it's
true.
Also planning, I guess. And you said it already. You're doing some master engineering work as well right now.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that?
Well, then when COVID kicked in, I saw in 2 weeks my gigs are gone. You know, everybody has seen this.
Cancel. I saw it in my schedule as well. Everything we can read.
And I was working on an agency that could bring me somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, everything in Miami is canceled. That guy, Dimitri David, you know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's passed away.
Unfortunately. Amazing guy.
Yeah, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with him about, maybe he's going to do something for me, you know, just in the begin state. And then COVID kicked in. It's okay. I saw everything done. Because we have a daughter with a syndrome, we like to move to Lelystad, but just in, not in the period of COVID, but later on, you know, because...
outside of the city, a little bit more calm.
Yeah. More calm. The family of Lorette, my girlfriend's living there, brothers, sister, nephews, everything is there. So, and it's more quiet.
Yeah.
But Utrecht was still fun, you know, Aesot.
Nice city, to be honest.
Yeah, nice city. But it was also hectic and... the COVID kicked in, you know, the price of the house go up.
Mm-hmm.
The rent goes down. I don't know if rent is the right word.
Interest.
Went down and I told with my girl, so well, let's finish the house and just do it. And then we went to Lelystad and we just found a very nice house, very comfortable house. We had a garden, like Japanese garden with water and a lot of stuff. It's really nice.
Koi carps. Bonsai trees.
Almost. Not the bonsai thing, but it's very sushi plate, yeah. We can order that in Lelystad as well. Not only Utrecht, but we can do it in Lelystad. And it was very smart. I think it was the best move ever. Closer to the family of Lorette as backup. And and do something new. Build a new studio in my house. So I've got basically, we're going to drive-in house. You know, drive-in? I don't know if it's the right word.
With a garage?
With a garage downstairs. Yeah. Downstairs, first floor we are living.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got business and private separated right now.
So business downstairs, upstairs, family.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. And it's really nice. And I'm quite relaxed now at the moment, how it goes right now. And then the mastering stuff coming in and yeah, it's good.
So if you want to have some good mastering on your tracks, make sure to...
Send me in DM.
Send our tent.
But I have to tell you, mastering is also in taste.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And it's a skill as well. That's something that I don't do myself. I have master engineer. I'm like, hey guys, here's the stems. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, I've got the stems.
It's something else.
I will do it. And that was the question you asked me. How did you came up with? Yeah, during Corona, I have downloaded some course to how to do it. And if I'm right, you know, yes, I'm right. And what is he doing? What is he doing? Okay, let's try. So I tried a lot in the studio and said, okay, this works. And we got a perfect pair of speakers and that's...
That helps as well.
Yeah.
So you can hear what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Well, we're well over time already. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
No, thank you.
I'm looking forward to the 2nd of July.
Me too.
London Dockyards, ADDA. Is there other shows coming up as well besides those?
Yes, we got a very nice one in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's all the details.
That was a scoop. Yes.
When?
In the same week of ASOT.
Okay, so that's going to be an interesting weekend, yeah. I guess.
Well, we play on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So the Czech fans knows where I'm playing with Davey.
Okay, put the bits and pieces together. And for your solo careers, what's coming up?
Yeah, I've got Trance in the Woods coming up in the UK in Derbyshire. And then Anomaly, Summer of Love, that's coming up in June. Then there's a few that are being confirmed throughout the later part of the year and that's but there's nothing confirmed, so I can't really announce that yet.
Just really quick, what is happening in the UK right now?
In what?
Like music wise, like clubbing is back, the underground is back, dirty, filthy clubs with people just stacked onto each other.
Yeah, and you've got the likes of Fred again and Ben Hemsley just absolutely smashing it, bringing out, just super catchy tunes, using the old sort of 90s trance sounds and... Yeah, there's the sort of a 90s renaissance happening in the UK at the moment, which is great. Even in the fashion as well, everybody's sort of dressing back in the 90s. So I think
tracksuits are back.
Yeah, tracksuits are back.
Maybe I will go back on the bike again.
Yeah, well, there you go. What about you, Art? What's coming up?
I've got some really nice club shows here in Holland and a very nice one in Romania.
I think I know which one that is.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much for your time. Next time, we're going to be back with a new State of Trance podcast with Simon Pedersen. If you have any questions for Simon, you can write them down here in the comment section. And otherwise, I'll see you next time for a new episode of State of Trance. See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal. A State of Trance podcast.